Today's Daily DVR is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. Head on over to Cufflinks.com and use code DVR20. Actually, go to Cufflinks.com/DVR and use code DVR20 so they know we sent you. You'll get 20% off your order, no minimum. If you've got an event coming up, Cufflinks.com is the place to be. Go to Cufflinks.com/DVR today. Today is Wednesday, May 8th, 2019. And this is Daily DVR. Welcome back, everyone. We got a special show for you today. I'm going to be dropping Heath Solo's new film list. That's right, baby. Heath Solo's new film list. Giving it out to the masses today. Got a lot going on, of course. Been covering Game of Thrones podcast, Winterfell. I'm going to be on with Jack, but it's just Jack tomorrow, and I'll release that on the feed, and just hooking up with a lot of great people. You know, some people are not enjoying this season, but we are, and we're especially enjoying the community. Now, before I hand it over to Heath, I just want to drop here to tell you that you should check out this movie on Netflix, and it's called The Wandering Earth. What an interesting film. It's a Chinese film. It was released last year. It's actually the second highest grossing Chinese film ever. It's a sci-fi blockbuster, kind of like The Day After Tomorrow. It's a little strange. I mean, I think that there's some, I don't mean to say strange, but it is to me as an American viewer. It does have, there's maybe some cultural differences in the way that the story is told, in the family dynamics. Just really, really interesting though. And it's such a great thing to look at what a huge sci-fi CGI blockbuster from another country is like. And to me, it wasn't just the story, but it was the way the story was told and kind of seeing the themes and where they hit marks that maybe an American film would do something different. Especially like the family dynamics, and there's a grandfather in it. It's just a really interesting film, and the special effects are crazy. They're really good. The whole story is crazy, but I really enjoyed this film, and you can watch it on Netflix dubbed if you like, or with subtitles. I don't really think you're missing much watching this film dubbed, but it's really fantastic, and I just wanted to take a quick second before I introduce Heath to tell you to do that. Watch that, The Wandering Earth on Netflix, a lot of fun. So I'm going to get going. You'll be hearing me and Heath again tomorrow. You might have heard some kids going crazy in the background and some noise here at the house. That's because my son's home from school. So I'm taking this opportunity to drop this pod from Heath so I get to spend a little bit more time with the little guy and his friends. So enjoy, Heath. I'll talk to you all later. And hey, Heath. Here's the podcast.
Thank you, Axel. The film list. You got a list, send it to me, thefilmlist@gmail.com, or send it to us to dvrpodcast.com as The Film List is a proud member of the DVR Podcasting Network, and you can hear it exclusively on Daily DVR. And just go to dvrpodcast.com. Check it out. Mr. Axel Foley holds the reins. I guess I'm a co-CEO, CFO, or just a solo. I don't know. Hey, I'm a poet and I don't know it. Anyway, welcome back. Like I said, Heath Solo here, and counting down my top 500, say that twice, top 500 favorite films of all time. Yes, little tongue twister there. I apologize if there's some coughing around. Got one of those dry coughs, man. Just, I guess it's part of life. Anyway, speaking of dry coughs, last time I did the first entry in the top 500, did five films. Number 500 was The Blob. Number 499 was 300. Number 498 was Twilight Zone, the movie. 497 was Crimes and Misdemeanors, Woody Allen film. And number 496, well, was them days, those Days of Thunder. So now, coming in at 495. Ooh, you guys are like, whoa, I mean, forget about number one and two. What about 495? Well, here's the trailer.
We are a rescue team, not assassins. Now, what are we gonna do?
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
We pick up their trail at the chopper, run them down, grab those hostages before anybody knows we were there.
What do you mean we?
Deep in the jungle, where nothing that lives is safe.
You lose it here, you're in a world of hurt.
Showtime, kid.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
An elite rescue squad.
You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Is being led by the ultimate warrior.
We need the best. That's why you're here.
But now...
What's got Billy so spooked?
There's something out there waiting for us. And it ain't no man.
They're up against the ultimate enemy.
Holy Mother of God.
Nothing like it has ever been on Earth before.
She says the jungle just came alive and took him.
We cannot see it.
No blood, no bodies. We hit nothing.
But it sees the heat of our bodies and the heat of our fear.
Whatever it is out there, it killed Hopper. And now it wants us.
It kills for pleasure.
He was skinned alive.
It hunts for sport.
He's killing us one at a time.
We're all gonna die.
But this time, it's picked the wrong man to hunt.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Century Fox presents Arnold Schwarzenegger. Predator. The hunt begins Friday, June 12th at theaters everywhere.
Yes! The hunt begins Fridays everywhere. Oh my god, that trailer basically showed you the whole thing. Well, I guess, you know, came out June 12th, 1987. Predator. There's so many Predator movies that, this one's just Predator. Action-adventure sci-fi. Directed by John McTiernan. Jim Thomas and Johnny Thomas wrote it. A cast of characters. Of course, Arnie Schwarzenegger. A good buddy. I don't think his maid was in it. No. Played Dutch. Carl Weathers. Bill Duke. Jesse Ventura. Shane Black. A lot of good. Sonny Ladham plays Billy. Kevin Peter Hall, of course, is the Predator. And yes, Jean-Claude Van Damme was the original Predator. But he was too small. So they replaced him with Kevin Peter Hall. The great late Matt Rose, a good friend of mine who passed away a few months ago. Excuse me, the coughs, jeez. Anyway, this was his first big film he worked on. He was a great sculptor, makeup artist, and he worked on the Predator mask and all kinds of goodies. So, man, the Predator. What can I say? Cheesy lines, I don't have time to bleed. Just a great action film, your typical 80s film. But it just had, I don't know, it just, you know, some things are cheesy. But I think I rewatched it like 2 years ago. Because I was auditioning for, with the new Predator movie coming out, I auditioned for like a host job to do spots on the movie, interviews, and go to Comic-Con. And I made the final four, but didn't get it. They were pairing up a woman and a man, and I forget the guy's name. Oh, it's a good guy. I think his name is Dave. He got it over me, but he was good. He was good. So I'm glad he got the gig. Hope it went well for him. But yeah, The Predator comes in at $4.95. I mean, what else can I say? The trailer said it all. Great 80s lines, great action, and a great premise. And remember, I think it was a place with no rules. I love those trailers when they're like, no rules. In a world with no rules comes a film directed by, you know, just fantastic. So that, The Predator. No, Predator. Keep saying The Predator. I put The in front of a lot of things to be funny, and now I'm not trying to be funny. And anyway, we'll go to The next one at $4.94. Oh, and I almost forgot. Academy Awards, it was nominated for Best Effects, Visual Effects. Stan Winston, Richard and Robert Greenberg, and Joel Hynek. I won some, you know, Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, some, you know, nominated for a Hugo Award. Hey, a Hurley Award, awesome. Anyway, so I just want to throw that in. Okay, here's the trailer for number 494.
We're millionaires, boys. I'll share it with all of you. Why, in a few months, it'll be up in lights on Broadway.
Weird, wonderful, the stuff for which movies were made. Adventure, to make you wonder if it's true, while your eyes convince you that it is. Truly, the thrill of thrills. Don't miss it this time.
Oh, it was electrifying. It almost started again. All right. Number 494, King Kong from 1933. April 7th, 1933. A film crew goes to a tropical island for an exotic location shoot and discovers a colossal ape who takes a shine to their female blonde star. He is then captured and brought back to New York City for public exhibition. Yes, King Kong, baby, comes in at 494. First saw this in film school, actually, at Syracuse. Great film. I mean, to think what they did in 1933, a lot of stop motion. I mean, of course, yes, it's 1933. There is some technology advances, if you will. But what an achievement. Great freaking movie. Marion C. Cooper and Ernest B. Shodisack. It says uncredited, though, as directors. So I don't know if they changed or they just never did. But anyway, starring Fay Wray, Robert Armstrong, Bruce Cabot, King Kong. Man, the posters are cool, too. You know, the old RKO release. And they did all the, you know, werewolf movies and stuff back in the day. Think they did. I don't know. I know Universal did, but RKO was a big movie distributor back in the day. King Kong. I remember when I first saw it, I was just like, wow, this is cheesy. But then as I understood film and realized it was the 30s, I'm like, actually, this movie is awesome. And I just, you know, the acting is what it is. But we're millionaires. Let's go, boys. But I think some people still act like that. But, good old Fay Wray, but it's just, there's this shot, too, of Kong's arm going into her apartment and taking her out, and they have the close-up of her, like, throwing her arms up, and you have the big, big hand grabbing her, and then you see the miniatures. It's just, it's a classic. It's a great movie. Let's see if it won any awards or got nominated. Why am I talking like that? Let's see. All right, so, no Academy Awards? Huh. Hey, it won a TV Land Award in 08, best movie to watch at a drive-in. But, no, it just, you know, was nominated for Academy of Science, Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films. Saturn Award. It says 2006 and 2011. I guess it's a classic award. Anyway, so no Oscars or nothing. Oh, that's disappointing. I figured it would get like visual effects or something, but maybe they didn't have that then. You know, I don't know. But King Kong, of course, many a remake after this. The original's the best, in my humble filmist opinion. All right, coming in at number 493 is another classic, one of my all-time favorite actors, one of my first true classic film actors that I really look up to and wanted to be, and I'll explain more. But here's the trailer. The trailer's actually 2 minutes and 42 seconds, so I'll let you listen to the trailer. I probably won't have to talk about plot. I'll talk about the other garbage I talk about on the film list. Garbage, but you know, you get a little something different here on the film list. All right, here's the trailer for number 493.
Come closer. I want to talk to you. I'm going to tell you an astounding story. The story of the Maltese Falcon. 600 years, the Falcon has carried the mystery of a fabulous wealth under its grotesque wings. I could tell you a thousand tales of the men and women who have hunted this evil bird. But every story has the same ending. Murder. Listen to these incredible people, all consumed by their passionate greed for the Maltese Falcon.
What have you ever given me beside money? Have you ever given me any of your confidence, any of the truth? Haven't you tried to buy my loyalty with money and nothing else?
What else is there I can buy you with?
Who? I won't play the sap for you.
I haven't lived a good life. I've been bad. Worse than you could know.
We were talking about a lot more money than this.
There are more of us to be taken care of now.
Well, that may be, but I've got the Falcon.
You may have the Falcon. We certainly have you.
I've taken all the writing from you I'm going to take. Get up and shoot it out.
Stop it. The police will be here any minute. Now talk.
Oh, how can you accuse me of such a tyrant?
This isn't the time for that schoolgirl act. We're both of us sitting under the gallows.
The Maltese Falcon comes in at 493. Was released in October 18th, 1941. Stars, of course, one of my all-time favorites, Humphrey Bogart. You're a good kid, she. Mary Astor, Gladys George, Peter Lorre, Barton MacLean, Lee Patrick, Sidney Greenstreet. There's also a guy, other guy I remember, but I don't remember his name. Oh, Alicia Cook Jr. I think that's him. Anyway, The Maltese Falcon. Okay, so in high school, I took a film class, and basically it was about classics, like Singing in the Rain, all kinds of stuff. And that's where I kind of first saw Casablanca and was like, oh, this is cool. Then I saw The Roaring Twenties, which is up there on the list. Little tease there. I rented The African Queen at the library, which is ahead. Anyway, a bunch of bogey movies. But when I was in college, it was my senior year. They were AMC had like Humphrey Bogart weekend. And so I was like on VHS, I was recording every Humphrey Bogart movie. I saw a lot for the first time. First saw The Maltese Falcon. I had not, I think I seen clips of it in class, but I never actually watched the full movie. So I watched it. I was watching all these Bogey movies, Desperate Hours, High Sierra, all, and I was just like, Bogey's my man. Made it later in life as an actor. His late 30s, I think he started working. But, you know, back then they were making 10 movies a year you could do. But yeah, The Maltese Falcon, they bill it as the suspense, the strange drama. Talk about Humphrey Bogart. Like, you couldn't, I was going to read the stuff they put up there in the trailer, but I didn't want to ruin the music, I guess. But, you know, Samuel Spade is Humphrey Bogart's character's name, and he goes, he's a man who, you know, investigates crime, or he's a private investigator. And he goes, and ladies as a hobby. I'm like, what? It's just so funny how they do this thing. But they really push the actors in this trailer. The acting's really great in this one. This one is really, Bogey and Mary Astor are really good. And, you know, Peter Lorre's fantastic. He's just a strange guy who just says, oh, I got the Falcon. Anyway. I think I just sound like my buddy Joe there. But, yeah, The Maltese Falcon, you know, it's a classique. And it's the first Bogey movie in my top 500, and there'll be many, many more. But, hey, we have Oscar nominations. It did not win, but it was nominated for Best Picture, Best Actor in a Supporting Role, Sidney Greenstreet, and Best Writing Screenplay, John Huston. I probably didn't go over the director. I think John Huston probably directed it. Yeah, John Huston directed the film. Great director. He also wrote it. It's based on a novel by Dashiell Hammett, who also wrote The Thin Man. So I always forget. The only reason I do this, I like to see what movies I pick and see if they won any awards. No, just kidding. But it's kind of a thing. So The Maltese Falcon comes in at 493. And now, number 492.
Taking a little mid-ad break here to remind you about our amazing presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. Now, we talk a lot about the GOT, the Marvel, the NCAA, but Cufflinks.com has amazing brands like Ox and Bull. Check it out. This is wearable art. You wear this anywhere and someone will stop and say, hey, what's that? Even if it's not a Hand of the King or Hand of the Queen pin, it looks amazing. Go to cufflinks.com and use code DVR20 today.
In a coffin in the ground.
You have to help me. You have to help me. I can't breathe.
How did you end up in the coffin, sir?
My convoy was ambushed.
They got hit in the head. I blacked out, and that's the last thing I remember.
I'm being held for ransom. I need $5 million,
bro. We left to die here.
Okay, Mr. Conroy.
Wait. I need to go in. What's going on right now?
Where is money?
I need more time. Let me out of here, and I promise you, I will get you the money.
No.
Oh, a little thing there. Hey, all right, so coming in at 492, Buried. And yes, I have a lot of history with Buried because my voice is in Buried. I'm one of the voice actors in Buried. And I think it's mixed up with another actor, good friend of mine, Joe Guarneri. But there is a lot. You get 3 seconds of me in there. It's like, Paul, are you okay? yeah, so I'm in Buried. But Buried, written by one of my dear friends, Chris Sparling. Directed by Rodrigo Cortez. Stars Ryan Reynolds and a bunch of great... Ryan Reynolds is fantastic in this film. This film didn't get, I don't know, the theater release that it should have. I think in time, I'm hoping people revisit this or see it for the first time and be like, wow, what an achievement. I mean, visually, I mean, Ryan Reynolds is in a coffin for 90 minutes, but, oh, it's done so well. And, of course, I'm a little partial, but I'll be honest. I saw it in the theater. There was a screening at the Arclight in Hollywood. Me, Joe, and my buddy Glenn came with me. Chris and Peter Safran were there, and we went in, saw the movie, and it was freaking awesome. Had a few cocktails afterwards, but Stephen Tobolowsky does a voice, Robert Patterson, Jose Luis Garcia Perez, well, that's a long name, Samantha Mathis, Ivan Amino, Eric Palladino, who else that you might know? You know, a bunch of other voices, and myself, yay. But what a journey this was. Quick plot line. Paul is a U.S. truck driver working in Iraq after an attack by a group of Iraqis. He wakes up to find he is buried alive inside a coffin. With only a lighter and a cell phone, it's a race against time to escape the claustrophobic death trap. Lot of history with this film. My good friend Chris, he was an actor out here with me, moved back to Rhode Island to finish school, did a feature film in Uzi at the Alamo. We shot, way back in, I think, 03, 04. Came out in 05, something around that time. And Chris was very good at writing screenplays that take place in one location. That's like his forte. And he wanted to do a film where he could shoot at a low budget to do a second film, but take place in one place, a coffin. And he was thinking about shooting it himself and being the lead actor and doing this, which is a great idea and a great concept. Like, if you want to do your own movie, you know, especially at that time, it was just like, that's the perfect thing. One location. You don't have to worry about all that crap. Was released October 15th, 2010, was the official release. So his manager he got from doing Uzi at the Alamo liked his work and started sending him scripts. And when he wrote Buried, he held on to it for a while. And he finally sent it to his manager, and his manager's like, all right, you got to be in L.A. in 3 days. I mean, make a long story short. Goes to L.A., gets signed with UTA. They get Ryan Reynolds attached. Rodrigo Cortez is, you know, Spanish director, is going to direct it. All this happened. And then within like 8 months, it was sold at Sundance. And this like never happens. His script went on the Hollywood blacklist, which is actually a good thing. It's like the top 50 movies that will get made. It's like the best scripts in Hollywood. And he just, boom, skyrocketed. The movie didn't do as well as it should. Maybe people, you know, don't want to be in a theater and, you know, it takes place in, you know, everyone wants to see outer stuff. But I know Chris didn't want to do the film because I think a lot of people might have pitched like, oh, we should show flashbacks, we should show this. And he was very key on like, for this movie to work, it has to take place in the coffin with voice acting. Which I believe exactly and was the way to do it. And Rodrigo Cortez saw the same vision. And Ryan Reynolds, dude. Trust me, to be an actor and to do this act in a coffin, I think they shot it in 17 days in Spain. Remarkable. I mean, the amount of work that goes into it, my God. Mentally and physically, you got to be in shape. But back in the day, I think it was 09, whenever I went to North Carolina with Axel and we filled in for Jay and Jack on the their Autism Speaks podcast. We had Chris came on early in the morning, and it was actually, I believe it was his birthday. His birthday is March 21st, and he came on and we talked about Buried and stuff. So a lot of this information, it was on there. I don't know if that podcast or that the Ad Autism Speaks. I mean, that's God, almost 9 years ago, 9-10 years ago. But you know, explained a lot of this, the story and stuff. But it was just fantastic, and it was a great, great story. Kicked ass at Sundance, and it's jump-started Chris's career, and it's just remarkable. And now he's kicking ass. I mean, oof, He's doing so well, and it's so good because he was one of my roommates out here in L.A. Me, my cousin, him, my buddy Joe, and we bonded together. And, you know, it's great to see one of your close friends do very well. It's just so rewarding because it's so hard out here. I mean, we had no connections, you know. And for him to be able to, his talent to get seen and to get noticed, and now, I mean, he's making an amazing career out of it. I really thought this script would get nominated for an Oscar. I really did. I know it's like, it's kind of the buzz, but I really thought it should have. And that's kind of one of the things that I wish. The movie did its job for Chris's career, which I'm happy. I got to believe, you know, Ryan Reynolds really as an actor. I mean, he was known as like a comedic actor and whatnot, but I mean, he can do drama as good as anyone. And I mean, he's just phenomenal. But it did. I'm going to go over the awards because there's a lot of awards. But because it's one of my favorite films, of course, but I'm biased. But I put bias aside for this podcast, I guess. Well, it's my favorite film, so I guess it's all bias. But a lot of awards. And you know, I was nominated for a Saturn Award, a bunch of other Cinema Writers Circle Awards. Spain, Best Editing, Rodrigo won that. Chris was nominated for a screenplay for the Circle Awards. It won the Critics Award at the Deauville Film Festival. Let's see. Ryan Reynolds won Best Actor for the Fangoria Chainsaw Awards. Ah, look at that. The Gaudy Awards. Best Non-Catalan Language Film. I apologize if I misread that. But it won, and then Chris, Rodrigo, Ryan Reynolds were nominated for a Gaudy Award. Gaudy Award. It was nominated for the Golden Schmoes Award, Most Underrated Movie of the Year, Favorite Movie Poster of the Year. That's pretty cool. Goya Awards, Chris won Best Original Screenplay, and Editing won again, was nominated for everything. Let's see. I like going back to see the Best Scared as Shit Performance nominee and the MTV Movie Awards. Now, that's funny. Now, this is where the Oscar buzz started happening, or was like, because the National Board of Review is a big, big awards, and Chris won the Best Original Screenplay. So, National Board of Review. So, it's like, okay, there's something going on here. So, that was cool. So the National Board of Review is no joke. So it was like, God, and I wish he would have got nominated for an Oscar, but in due time he will. But Buried comes in at number 492. And man, great film. I remember when me and Glenn were in the theater, and I was around the time where I had a lot of anxiety and stuff. And the beginning of the film is like dark. And you hear coughing like I am now, but you hear breathing. And I'm just like, I felt like I was in that coffin. And in the whole film, I felt like I was in it with him. So if you haven't seen Buried, please check it out. I'm sure it's on all kinds of platforms, but you won't be disappointed. I mean, hey, you know, like every movie, either you like it or you don't, but it's worth the experience. So I highly recommend Buried, my 492nd favorite movie of all time. All right, so final movie of the pod, number 491. Here is the trailer, and I'll give you a little fun fact. Fun fact, I don't know what I'm saying. It's my first Bond movie to make the top 500, and here we go.
Stop! Look! He's gunning for trouble. 007. It spells Bond. He's the idol of every woman.
Who are you?
James Bond.
The envy of every man. The nemesis of the treacherous Mr. Goldfinger. powerful Fleming secret agent 007.
Who are you?
My name is Pussy Galore.
Isn't it customary to grant the condemned man his last request?
You've asked for this.
Come and purr over Honor Blackman as Pussy Galore. The female who is all feline. Also starring Gert Frober as Goldfinger. International cheat. International menace.
Gentlemen!
Goldfinger, why weren't we told the New York and the West Coast weren't on this?
Goldfinger, I made a delivery. Where is my money?
And you owe me $1 million.
Goldfinger, the man with a finger in every pie. His goal, Fort Knox, the world's biggest bank. His enemy, 007, the world's wiliest, toughest gentleman agent with a license to kill. 007, it spells Bond. James Bond, mixing business with girls and thrills. Girls and fun. Girls and danger. The hotter the danger, the cooler he takes it.
I think you've made your point, Goldfinger. Thank you for the demonstration. Choose your next witticism carefully, Mr. Bond. It may be your last. Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Yes, Goldfinger. Probably, Goldfinger might be one of the best Bond movies ever made, but it's my 491st favorite film, which is great. Think about it, top 500 films. I mean, that's out of thousands and thousands and thousands and billions and billions. But Goldfinger is, of course, one of my favorites. I like a lot of other Bond films more as a favorite film, but as best Bond film, I think this is right up there. Came out in January 9th, 1965. I mean, there's a great shot where Bond's kissing Pussy Galore, played by the great Honor Blackman, Avengers fame. She I think she was in Avengers after Bond or before. I'm not quite sure. She's one of the Emma Peel replacements, but he's kissing her, and then there's this guy ready to hit him over the head, and he sees the reflection in her eye, and he turns around. It was a great shot. I mean, this film is really good. As you can tell from the trailer, directed by Guy Hamilton. Richard Maybaum and Paul Den wrote the screenplay. Of course, Ian Fleming, Goldfinger. Stars Sean Connery, as they said, best Bond ever. Gert Frobe, Honor Blackman. Shirley Eaton, Tanya Mallett, Harold Sakata as Oddjob. Oddjob's awesome. He flings that hat, cuts things. Bernard Lee as M. Hey, Martin Benson as Solo. Hey, there was a Solo in here. What do you know? Bill Nagy. I don't know who he is, but he plays Midnight. But he just sounds familiar. Bill Nagy. I think he was a baseball player. Good old Bond. It all started for me. Excuse me. I apologize for the coughing. Cough with me if you want. The Bond experience started with me in the 80s. When me and my dad, we rented all the Bond movies on VHS and rented also another VCR. You could rent a VCR, and we hooked our VCRs together and recorded them. So we had all the Bond movies on beta. It's pretty fantastic. And so Roger Moore was kind of my Bond growing up. And so I was like, Roger Moore was the man, because I loved the show The Saint. And it was like Roger Moore. But then I started watching the Sean Connery ones. And I'm like, oh my God. Because in the 80s, Sean Connery, he had pretty much, I would say, what, two spots of two highs of his career, the Bond films, and then he did a lot of like weird cool films like Outlander and stuff like that. And I think he was in Time Bandits. He might have made an appearance in Time Bandits or The Neverending Story. I don't know if it was both, but he was doing a lot of weird movies, a lot of sci-fi movies and stuff, and then came back with Never Say Never Again. And then kind of the Connery boom again happened, where he started, you know, the Russia House and God, there's so many other Sean Connery movies. But he just he all of a sudden kind of just went to another level and was in a lot of great films after that. But the in between the Bond and the his late renaissance later in his career, really like The Rock. He was in The Rock with, you know, Nicolas Cage. Like, he was like big action movies. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, I don't think did that well, but I kind of like that movie. But, you know, is the debate Bond, who's the best? I mean, Connery, I think. Roger Moore, a lot of females like Roger. It was more, more comedy. I mean, Sean Connery had the one-liners, but he was a tough, the man's man Bond. Roger Moore was, more of the ladies, but he was more, it became almost like, not a farce, but, you know, like Moonraker, stuff like that. It just became weird. But I still love Roger Moore. I mean, how can you not love Roger Moore? Pierce Lazenby, our good friend Dan, everyone's my good friend. We were going through George Lazenby, but my friend Dan was like, I love that Pierce Lazenby. It became this running joke. It was so funny. I liked Lazenby, and Honor Majesty's Secret Service is a great film. I really enjoy that because Diana Rigg's in it, and it's just, I love the snow, and that'll be coming up on the countdown, I'm sure. And then Timothy Dalton was, I think, a very good Bond, but just trying to replace Roger Moore. It was a tough transition. He was more serious, and it didn't hit. And then the 90s, Pierce Brosnan was like the perfect Bond for the 90s, early 2000s. Remington Steele. He couldn't get out of the contract because he was before Timothy Dalton. They wanted Pierce Brosnan, but it was, I guess, a big thing with his contract with Remington Steele back in the day when they kind of owned you in a sense where, you know, when George Clooney was on ER and he did Batman, it happened to be both Warner Brothers, but he did both. He filmed both. Where now you can kind of do both. You could be a TV star and then go do a movie, and they don't really. But I guess, you know, contracts were done a little differently. If you were locked in, I guess, you know, they didn't want him playing Bond, I guess, because it's a long commitment to do Bond. But, you know, Brosnan was good. But Daniel Craig he's moved up to number two for me. I was like, when I first heard Daniel Craig was playing Bond, I'm like, what? Daniel Craig? But then when I watched Casino Royale, I'm like, dude, I'm in. And he's just phenomenal. So Connery's one, Craig two for me. Of course, Roger Moore probably number three. But Goldfinger, I mean, it's a classic. The song Goldfinger, Shirley Bassey, fantastic. It won the Academy Awards. It won Best Effects, Sound Effects. Norman Wanstall won the Oscar. BAFTA Awards, Best British Art Direction. Ken Adam was nominated. Of course, the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films. I guess they didn't have them then. That's what it is. I guess it's Best DVD Blu-ray Collection it won. Okay, well, there you go. It won that. In 1965, it was nominated Best Foreign Film by the Edgar Allan Poe Awards. What do you know? Grammys, here we go. Grammys. Best Original Score Written for a Motion Picture or Television Show, John Barry. Oh, Shirley Bassey didn't get nominated. Again, I'm assuming they did songs in the Academy Awards and stuff, but I mean, the Bond theme is iconic. It won a Laurel Award in 65, Best Action Performance, Sean Connery. Anyway, so that's it for awards, Goldfinger. But there's going to be plenty of Bond movies on the countdown. But yeah, Goldfinger comes in at 491. It's a great Bond film, and I love it. number 41, or whatever. Or again, our late great friend Matt Rose had his cane and he had a button on it and he pretended he was Goldfinger and be like, number 42, you have disappointed me for the last time. And he'd press, you know, just, you have to be there. But Goldfinger, man, 491. All right, so these five, this clip, number 495 was Predator. Hey, I said it right. Number 494 was King Kong, 1933. Number 493 was the Maltese Falcon. Number 492, Buried. And number 491, Goldfinger. So that's it for this. I wanted to, I know we're going to be going crazy Game of Thrones coming, but I wanted to drop a film list to get out there so you guys know I'm still alive and still doing this countdown, talking about films. And of course, send your list in the filmlist@gmail.com. I know a lot of you probably have sent lists before, but new listeners and whatnot, let me know your top 10 favorite films. It'd be nice, or whatever list you want to send me. It's all good. I'm going to hand you over to Axel to send us out. But thanks again for listening to the film list on Daily DVR, and we'll see you at the movies.
Isn't Solo the best? I love listening to him. Don't forget, everybody, go to dvrpodcast.com, podcastwinterfell.com, subscribe, rate, review. We got so much coming out. I got plans. There's a big show coming out that I'm going to be covering with. I'm looking for a host right now. If you're a female and you want to host a show with me, drop me a line because I want to be covering Big Little Lies. And I think it's good that I do it with a woman. I think that show is about women, and I think it needs that type of perspective. So if you're a woman and you want to cover Big Little Lies with me, give me a shout. Or maybe I'll end up doing it by myself. I could coax my wife into it. But we're going to keep on doing a bunch of different shows when Game of Thrones ends, and I have a lot of guests lined up. It's going to be a lot of fun. So it doesn't end when Game of Thrones ends. And I appreciate all the new downloads we've been getting at Daily DVR. We got a ton of new subscriptions from Podcast Winterfell. And I love that crossover. And I love to welcome you in because what we do here is just talk TV, have fun, and just kind of share with each other. And by the way, check the Podcast Winterfell. Check at W. Axel Foley, my Twitter, because our man Joe did an amazing video for his library that he works at. I put it on the Patreon and I blasted it out on Twitter and our Facebook group. So check that out if you can. And great job, Joe. That was awesome, man. I love to see that. And go libraries, baby. All right, everybody. Have a great time listening to Heath. Oh, you already listened to Heath. I'm pre-recording this. I gave it away. I hope you enjoyed Heath. I'm going to get going now. Peace out.